Is this a strategy? We launched a number of cruise missiles into Syria after calling the Russians and saying, psst, we're coming. They called the Syrians and said, they're coming. So I'm not sure exactly what we accomplished, but it raised our morale, I suppose. Power's not power unless you use it. Then we dropped the mother of all distractions, the mother of all blast bombs in Afghanistan, made a big hole there, may have killed 90 guys, may have manufactured. They usually, it's about a 3-to-1 ratio, my understanding, so may have manufactured a few terrorists there, what have you. Now we have the Korean Peninsula to work look towards.
A lot of folks think that the mother of all bombs was just a little note that was sent over to her. Actually, the strike on the Assad regime was just a strike to say, hey, North Korea, we've got these. We'll use them.
Pay attention. Mm-hmm. We will move unilaterally. Well, I don't know if it's a strategy. Let's talk to William Hartung. He's the Director of Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy and joins us now here on WDLS. Mr. Hartung, I know you've been in the business a long time and have forgotten more about military history than we'll ever know. So is this a clear strategy? Is this just a little telegram to the North Korean dictator, or what's going on here in your mind?
Well, to me, you know, bluster and bombing are not really a strategy. We didn't accomplish much in Syria. In Afghanistan, it had tactical effect, but it doesn't change the overall situation there with ISIS or the Taliban. And I don't think threats against North Korea, unless you've got a backup, were we to actually attack them, they would devastate the South with conventional weapons. So I'm a little bit encouraged that some of the Trump administration people will be saying, well, this is, you know, it's a threat, but it's also to lead to negotiations. We're looking for a peaceful way out of this. And negotiations actually in the Clinton years did help cap that program for about 6-7 years. So I'm hoping that maybe there's a little shift here from that initial kind of outburst of bombings. And maybe they're starting to think, at least in North Korea, a little longer term.
I want to get back to North Korea, but a lot of people said, no, this is very similar to when Reagan attacked Libya. The difference is, and correct me if I'm wrong, we tried to kill Gaddafi in Libya. We didn't even target one single Assad asset other than that airstrip in Syria. Do you draw a distinction between the Reagan action years ago and the most recent action in Syria?
Yes. They were trying to accomplish much less, and they didn't even disable the airfield, of course. I mean, they were using that the next day for bombing runs. So I really think it's kind of like, you know, they rattled his cage. It may even have strengthened him, because now he can say, oh, I stood up to the U.S., and I'm as strong as ever, you know. So I really think it was a distraction in the sense that perhaps it took some other things off the front pages. The problems with Russia, the fact that the president hasn't been able to get a lot of his domestic initiatives going. And so a lot of times presidents will look to the area where they actually have some power to do things without having to go to Congress. And I think that may have played into this.
Yeah, put the distractions aside. Obviously, we have a problem in Syria. If we're going to go over there and we're going to be tactical and if we're going to make something work, how do we do that without going off the deep end with the likes of Russia? How do you go in there and keep this thing where it just doesn't escalate?
Well, I think we need to push harder on the Russians. I would have liked to see them talk about, you know, Russia is blocking any action by the UN Security Council. They're vetoing things, not even, you know, sanctions against Syria. And I think Russia has to be made as much of a pariah in this situation as Assad does, because they're really the prop, along with Iran, that's keeping him in power and allowing him to do all these awful things. I mean, the chemical weapons thing was terrible, but he's killed hundreds of thousands of people with other kinds of bombs. So it's really the biggest humanitarian crisis in the world at the moment.
So North Korea, do you really think that they will unleash conventional weapons over the DMZ if, in fact, we make a move with cruise missiles to take out some of their missile sites?
I think that's a risk. We never know what this guy's going to do, but I think, you know, if he thought that was part of an ongoing strategy, not just a one-off, that's a possibility. If they did one strike and they still have, you know, they have 10 to 16 nuclear weapons, they have thousands of ballistic missiles, not all of them able to carry nukes, but able to do great damage, certainly to the South. It would ratchet it up in, I think, a dangerous way, especially if we didn't have an exit strategy. If it's just kind of a one-off and we rattle his cage as we did with Syria, he has a lot more in his possession to do damage to our allies than I think Syria does.
Mr. Hartung, in your opinion, is he less or more crazy than his dad or his grandfather?
I think he's definitely up there in the mix. He's got some more peculiar personal habits, certainly. But I think he does want to survive. I think that's his primary goal. And because countries that have disarmed, like Saddam Hussein, like Libya, have ended up being having their regimes overthrown and been killed. I think he views the nuclear weapons as kind of his ace in the hole to keep hold on power. And that's why he's so tenacious about it and why it's been so hard to resolve this problem.
Do you think Dennis Rodman can broker peace between us and North Korea?
No, I think he should stick to rebounding.
We could send him back over there, though, John.
he's not busy.
Yeah. He might be as crazy as Kim Jong-un, who knows?
Yeah. Which might work.
Wait till he gets nukes. Wow.
Watch out, Michael Jordan. There's still some bad blood there. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your expertise and your time.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
By the way, William Hartung is over there at the Center for International Policy. And if you want to read more, go to CIPonline.org, and we'll tweet out a link, CIPonline.org.